Well, my task for this session is to share with you wisdom from the book of Job for counseling sufferers. I think what prompted Janet to ask me to do this was the publication of this book of mine called The Humbling of Job, Meditations on Finding Comfort in Affliction. Most people are familiar with the bookends of Job, the first two chapters and the last two chapters. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, I just get lost in the stuff in the middle. This book is really designed to take people through the entire book of Job, meditations that are 4 to 5 pages long, to help understand what the key messages of Job and how it helps us as we face various forms of affliction. But it is true that Job is challenging. But I do believe it's worth the effort to understand Job. Because there's a lot of places in scriptures we can take someone to understand how to deal with suffering and the elements of suffering that are so important as you're walking through it. But it's in the book of Job that, like no other, we face the problem of the perplexity of persistent suffering, the suffering that will not stop, that will not go away. And so I believe that the book of Job especially provides wisdom for both the sufferers and those who would come alongside to help them. But it has its challenges. And the challenges are multiple. There are 4 challenges that you have to recognize, and I think if you don't realize these up front, you'll tend to get frustrated and lost in the book of Job. The first of those is that it really is an uncommon genre. Unless you're a literature major, you're probably not very used to reading epic poetry. Do you remember having to go through Homer in high school? Talk about a painful experience, right? My apologies to anybody's a literature major here, but it's different. And that difference makes it hard to penetrate. Secondly, it has dense Hebrew poetry. And Hebrew poetry is different than what we're used to. It's not roses are red, violets are blue, right? We're used to poetry that's very linear and goes to a very specific ending point. That's not what Hebrew poetry is like. And so it's different. It's hard to get through. It also contains a number of lost figures of speech. You know, if roses and violets became extinct, that little ditty that I quoted would mean nothing to us. Right? Poetry paints pictures. But when we don't understand the figures of speech, the picture's really blurry. And there are simply some areas in Job that we've lost what's being painted there. I mean, every time you open your Bible, you're having a cross-cultural experience. It is written at a different time, a different place, and it is written in a context. And we're not in that context. And especially in the book of Job, some of these figures of speech are just impenetrable to us, and we have to be willing to live with that. And then another reason why it's hard, and perhaps maybe why people get so confused about the ping-pong dialogue that exists in Job, is it is really rooted in what's called the reward-retribution paradigm. The theological outlook that says, God rewards the godly with blessing in this life, and he brings retribution on the ungodly with suffering in this life. That is the framework with which Job and his friends are operating. It's the framework with which the disciples had operated. Remember when they encountered the man born blind, they said to Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents? Why they asked that? Because they lived in the same paradigm. Suffering in this life is a consequence of sin. And if you don't understand that, you'll really get confused and can go off on some blind alleys when you work your way through the dialogue of Job and his friends. But when we recognize these realities, we can walk our way through Job and really gain from it. But here's the key. It's not a text you're going to read like the book of Acts. You have to be able to wrestle with the text. You have to be willing to spend the time to chew on it and think through it. Because the book of Job is meditative literature. And you have to approach it different than historical literature. But if we do that, there can be great reward in what we can learn from the book of Job. Well, here's what I hope to draw out of Job today. Now, I'm going to make an assumption that all of you have a basic knowledge of the underlying story of Job. If you don't, I'm sorry. I don't have time to go through the details, but I hope that going through today's session, you dive into the book of Job and you'll understand it more. But what I want to do, first of all, is let the book of Job help us understand the causes of suffering. Why does suffering come? Number two, the book of Job will help us see the challenge of persistent suffering. Number three, the book of Job will help us understand the counselor's task when faced with persistent suffering. And number four, the book of Job will lead us on the path to finding comfort through suffering. Not by being relieved from suffering, but through suffering. So, let's take that journey. Let's recognize from the outset that there are many different things that can provoke persistent suffering. We talked earlier about physical suffering. People living with pain and other forms of physical suffering. Sometimes it is an emotional event that creates suffering that persists. Sometimes it's a spiritual attack. And you notice there's arrows here because they're interconnected. As we talked about, people may begin with a physical problem, but it quickly shows itself emotionally in their lives. And ultimately, it will present a spiritual challenge for them. Sometimes people have experienced an event that creates an emotional trauma, but it ends up becoming a spiritual trial. And you all know how your emotions can be manifested physically, right? People can, if you will, make themselves sick emotionally, right? Spiritually, we can see how spiritual attacks can result in physical consequences. And if you doubt that, just read the Gospels. Just read the Gospels. It's all over there, right? Job experienced all of these. So what does the cause of suffering? What brings suffering? Well, in order to understand this through Job, it's best to look at three words that are probably not part of our everyday lingo. The word proximate, penultimate, and ultimate. Proximate is the direct or immediate cause of something. It's what we usually see. Penultimate represents the next to last or the nearest to true cause. The ultimate is the decisive cause. And we see all three of these in the very first chapter of Job. It was the Sabians, the Chaldeans. It was the fire from heaven. It was the wind that brought Job's suffering. But we know that there was someone behind the scenes, Satan, right? We also know that Satan could do nothing apart from God, permitting him, giving him room. We know that God was the ultimate cause. This reminds us that all suffering is multifarious. It has multiple levels of causation. Let's look at this from the text. We read in chapter 1 that there was a day when his sons, meaning Job, his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And there came a messenger to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was yet speaking, there came another. "The Chaldeans formed three groups, and they made a raid on the camels and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And behold, a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you." Let that sink in. I know what it's like to lose one child. I cannot imagine 10 in one fell swoop. This was devastating for Job.